Well, once again, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Hour of the Time, and I'm still, and hopefully I always will be, William Cooper. Well, I've got a few things to talk about tonight, and then we're going to open the phones. Also got a lot of good old-time commercials to play in the in-between times, so to speak, that I think you'll find amusing. I was recently on a line on the internet, this great abode where so many social misfits hiding behind their computer terminals lash out at the world, saying and doing things they would never say and do if they were standing face to face in front of anyone whatsoever. Me, I'm always me, and I will always be me, and I say and do the things that I always say, whether I'm behind this microphone or standing in your face or behind a podium on television or a guest on another radio show. I am consistent. And one memorable day, someone made a post proclaiming Pat Buchanan's wonderful credentials for President of the United States of America. And in reply to his post, I happened to mention that Pat Buchanan was a member of the Sovereign and Military Order of the Knights of Malta, which is a foreign nation, not just a fraternal organization. It is a recognized by all nations in the world foreign nation. Pat Buchanan is a member of the Knights of Malta, highly degreed, I might add, as was William Casey, who was the head of the CIA at one time when Pat Buchanan played a very significant role in government. I'm going to tell you about some of these things, you see. You guys just never cease to amaze me in your sheepleness. It's just like somebody takes the wool off of you and you grow a new coat just as fast as we can strip it. It's just absolutely amazing. There was a special group in the White House. They met in room 208. It was the Intelligence Oversight Committee for Presidents Lyndon Johnson, Carter, and Nixon. You guys didn't know about that, did you? Did you know that Pat Buchanan was the head of that group? That group formulated and approved all covert actions that were taken outside this country performed by the CIA. Didn't know that, did you? Well, it's true, folks. Absolutely, 100% true. Also, in his capacity of Knights of Malta, as a highly degreed member of the Knights of Malta, Patrick Buchanan has sworn absolute obedience and allegiance to the order and to the Pope, because the Knights of Malta is the militia of the Pope. Now, folks, I'm not talking Catholic here. I'm talking a secret fraternal organization, which is a part of the hierarchy of the Illuminati. And every member of this organization has sworn absolute obedience and allegiance to the order and to the Pope. Did you know that when the Pope is in specific times of danger, however the Vatican defines that, that the mercenary Swiss Guard that is usually posted to guard the Vatican and the Pope is dismissed and members of the Knights of Malta take their place? And you want to elect this guy president? Have you lost your minds? Well, I just merely stated this, and all of a sudden I was attacked viciously from all sides by these little demons sitting behind their computers, many of them Freemasons. And they just struck out. The oaths don't mean anything, they say. Taking these oaths do not preclude one from becoming president.
You're crazy, Cooper. Get off this net.
Well, I didn't get off the net, and I'm not crazy. One of them, a Freemason who openly admitted it and said that he had taken many oaths and that there was nothing wrong with the oaths and it didn't preclude one from becoming president. So I challenged him if they're so harmless. Quote, the oath of the Royal Arch degree of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, which I knew that he had taken and knew, because he said that he was a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite, same as Bobo Gritz. And to this date, he hasn't done it. One of his posts, he signed it Bohica. Bohica. Well, you've all heard Bobo Gritz use the Masonic code phrase, raise my arm to the square. Has nothing to do with his oath of allegiance in the military to the Constitution and to the President and to carry out all legal and lawful orders of those officers appointed above him. Nope, folks, it's a Masonic signal, letting everybody who's listening know that he's a Freemason. He also uses the word Bohica quite frequently. And those who pick this up and hear him use it and pick it up and use it also thinking that they're being real macho, and those in the secret societies who use it for the same reason that he does is because it's symbolism. They're making fools of all of you. And I served in Vietnam, ladies and gentlemen. I was in the military for a long time. I never heard the word Bohica used ever. Ever. And I wasn't just over there. I was in the thick of it. The thick of it. I fought battles almost every single night on the Quaviet River. The Takan River, actually. Our base camp was Quaviet up on the DMZ. I worked with Marines. I had Marine recon teams assigned to my command who I would insert on the north bank as listening posts or as ambush teams, depending upon my discretion and what I felt was going to be the plan of the evening, and also based upon intelligence reports at the briefing before we left to go on patrol. I never heard this term used ever in Vietnam. It's particular to one group and one group only, ladies and gentlemen, and that is the special forces known as Delta. Delta is another esoteric term in the mysteries, which is the symbol of the regenerative force of the sun. That's right, folks. Delta is another name for the penis of Osiris. The great phallus, the obelisk, the Washington Monument, the rays of the sun, of the god of the mysteries, the sun, the light, Lucifer. And so when this guy signed his name Bohica, being studied as I am, I immediately posted a reply calling his attention to the fact that I wasn't as dumb as everybody else in this world, and that I know that Bohica is the name of the Peruvian sun god. And this is one way that they rub it in our face, ladies and gentlemen. They think we don't know these things. Well, most of us don't. Most of us are as ignorant as a newborn babe. Ignorant means devoid of knowledge. It means you don't know nothing. And for most of you, it's absolutely correct. You accept things without looking them up, without doing any research. You don't know what's going on. You haven't got the slightest idea, as a matter of fact. And right now, I'm looking this up, because I'm going to quote it to you. And I'll find it here in just a second. Here it is. And I'm looking in the index of this book. Now, just today, I went down to my research library in St. John's, and within a one-hour period of time, I found four different reference works that listed Bohica as the founder of the Peruvian nation, the Mithra or Osiris of Bogota. If you don't know what Bogota is, it's a South American city, the capital of Peru. Okay, folks. Now I'm going to turn to the page in this book where it's listed. I'm going to read to you exactly what it says, so you know just how stupid some of you are. It's on page 34, okay? Let me turn to page 34. And the light here is not too good, folks, so just bear with me. This is fine print in this book. It's an old, old book, very old book. Here it is. I'm going to read to you verbatim. The founder of the Peruvian nation was called Bojica, the sun and emblem of the sun, spelled S-U-N. He was high priest of the Sagamosa. Here we have the Saga. His wife was called Kia. Kia is nothing but Eva, corrupted. Isis, or the moon. He was described with three heads. Here, I think, are the Buddha and Trimurti of India. His priests were called Zakis and Zakis. These are Zakas, or Sagas, or priests of wisdom. Or, as you know, if you've been listening to this broadcast for very long, the highest degreed priests or adepts of the mysteries. Humboldt says, quote, the form of government given by Bojica to the inhabitants of Bogota is very remarkable from its analogy with those of Japan and Tibet. The Incas of Peru united in their person the temporal and spiritual powers. The children of the sun were both priests and kings. The pontiffs or lamas, the successors of Bojica, were considered as heirs of his virtue and sanctity. The people flocked in crowds to offer presents to the high priests, visiting those places which were consecrated by the miracles of Bojica. In a very particular and pointed manner, this Bojica is said to be white or albus. Remember, I told you this was all racial. The superior race being the white race, and all the other races inferior in their status of evolution, to be guided by the white race. Wake up, why don't you, folks? Why don't you just wake up? I just read this from a book entitled, well, actually, this is volume 2 of a set of books, which I have old, old copies, both printed in 1836. The book is called Anacalypsis, the Saitic Isis, Languages, Nations, and Religions by Godfrey Higgins, Esquire. And Godfrey Higgins, Esquire should know, because after his name comes the following. F-S-A, F-R-R-A-S-I-A-T, period, S-O-C, comma, F-R-A-S-T-S, comma, of Skello Grange near Doncaster, res verbis et verba, ascendant lumina rebus. He's a highly degreed priest of the mysteries. He knows this stuff. Now, let me tell you what Greitz says Bojica means. He says it means, bend over, here it comes again, and he's absolutely right. And you've all been bending over so long, and taking it where you shouldn't be taking it at all, that I just wonder if you would get the message if I ever picked you up bodily and was able to sit you down on top of the Washington Monument, would you then understand? Huh? It's on the edge tonight, and it's on the coast to coast. Look up, love is everywhere tonight. You better look at Odia, look up. Each station to love connection.
We'll have us all coming through. So we can set what's the nation. That fight will be no room for you. You should never sing for her. This was only part of your alley.
You might sound like Green Blue Eyes.
I suppose she likes Rudy Fang.
It's so true. Come on now, she loves you better than you. Why don't you get it on your brothers on the air tonight?
Well, folks, we're going to take your calls tonight and see what's on your mind. The number is 520-333-4578. 520-333-4578. Now, when you call in, folks, you can either say something absolutely incredibly stupid in front of the whole world, or you can say something intelligent and make an impression upon the world. Maybe even change things for the better. It's up to you. Whatever you decide is okay with me. It's open phones. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air. That's Little Poopy Diapers, folks. And if you've been listening to this program for very long, you know that every once in a while, he calls in. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm sorry. I'm turning the radio down. My name is Jackie Street. Hello?
Turn your radio off.
Okay, it's off. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, have you heard of a book? It was a series of...
Jackie, take a deep breath and relax.
Yeah, I'm so surprised I got through.
Well, Poopy Diapers is there hitting his redial button just as fast as he can because he's so stupid he got nothing else to do. Go ahead.
Okay, it was...
What's the name of the book?
Politics, People in Politics, History of Self-Government in America. I think it's called. I have the book in my car. And The Money to Put It Out was by Jacob Schiff. Schiff, actually.
Yeah.
And it was a series of lectures actually given in 1920s. And unfortunately, at this moment, I don't remember the name of the author. So,
People in Politics is the name of the book?
I believe that's what it's called.
Okay. No, I haven't seen it.
Okay. And just...
What is the, in a nutshell, what's the gist of the theme of the book?
The theme of the book is the guy comes down on the forefathers and it's like the Constitution is binding those who are enlightened.
The Constitution is bonding?
It's chains.
It chains those who are enlightened?
Yes.
Oh, what fools. The Constitution is the only thing that ever set them free. Before that, they were burned at the stake.
Yeah.
Or their heads were chopped off on the block.
It was the Jacob Schiff Foundation who put money into putting the book out.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking I was going to get through. I would have brought it in the house with me.
Well, you know, you ought to think of those things. If you didn't think you were going to get through, why waste the time dialing? I certainly wouldn't.
That's a good idea. I tell you what, I'm gonna go get the book out of the car, and I'm gonna try and call that later on. Then.
Okay. Why don't you call back another night, though? Because I don't like to give people more than one call on the call-in night.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, though. Yeah, Jacob Schiff was mixed up an awful lot of subversive activities. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Well, I don't have time to play games, folks. If you're going to call, call. There's one who hung up. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay. Are you going to talk?
Yeah.
Good. What do you got?
Well, what do you normally talk about on your show? Like, I haven't listened to your show for very long. I just picked it up.
Good night. You're still a sheeple, my friend. You should never call this show if you've never listened to it before. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, William.
Good evening.
This is one of those sheeple from Maryland. Trying the other way, though. Trying to get out of it.
Good. I was a sheeple for many years. The first step to becoming not a sheeple is being willing and able to admit it to yourself.
That's right. Broke my heart, though.
Broke mine, too, my friend, but it had to be done.
There's no doubt. I was wondering if you could give us your appraisal of Mr. Walter Myers, the silly days in which the Constitutionist Networking Center.
Well, when I...
For that, gentlemen?
When I first met Walt Myers, it was in Kansas. Well, I talked to him on the phone several times, had him as a guest on the broadcast, talking about the attempt to bring disparate organizations together in Kansas City to create a coalition that could elect a constitutionally committed president, vice president in the next election. And I attended all those meetings on behalf of the Constitution Party when Aaron Russo was still the chairman. And we hammered it through. And I got to tell you, if I had not attended those meetings, they would not have stayed on the constitutional course. These people were going off in all different directions. I like Walt Myers. We stayed overnight at his house one night. He took my daughter for a tractor ride, which she'll remember probably for the rest of her life, probably the biggest tractor I've ever seen. And this thing about the grand jury thing in Wichita, Kansas, and a few other things are making me step back and give this thing another look. I really don't know what to say other than that. I like Walt Myers.
Well, he sounded all right to me, but then one day I heard him. I was listening in on a conference call, and I heard him putting in a pitch for the Conference of the States, and that kind of made me a little concerned about it.
He put in a pitch for the Conference of the States?
Recommended for it. Pro Conference of the States.
Well, if several other people were to tell me that, I would have to walk away from him. But with just one person telling me that, I'd have to have a little bit more than that.
Maybe someone.
Nothing personal, you understand?
Well, perhaps I heard wrong too, but maybe someone else will confirm it.
Well, maybe they will. And,
well, I wanted your opinion.
Well, if he's for the Conference of States, I'm not for anybody that's for the Conference of the States, but I don't know personally that he really said that. I just have your word for it. Like I said, nothing personal about that. It's just the way I operate. I have to have absolute confirmation on everything.
Well, I got to let you know that we're not all dead out here in Maryland. There's a group of about 70 of us that killed that movement here in Maryland.
Well, good for you.
Proud of us, huh?
I'm very proud of you. Bet you believe it. If I had a medal, I'd pin it on your chest.
Oh, gee. You take care.
You too. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air. Goodbye. Another dummy. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Good evening, Bill.
How you doing?
I had a long day. Yeah, excuse me. You were talking earlier about the Pat Buchanan thing.
Right.
By the way, this is Fred in Huntsville. And did you happen to listen to the Perot debacle tonight on Larry King?
No, uh-uh.
Okay, he announced his third party and all that stuff.
No, I quit listening to Larry King a long time ago. He's a mouthpiece. Unless there's somebody on there that I want to hear specifically. He's a mouthpiece for the New World Order is what he is.
I just wanted to hear what Perot was up to, basically. And he came out with this so-called platform and a third party and all this stuff. And he implied that this platform had come from a coalition of grassroots members and that sort of thing. And I just have to know the North Alabama coordinator for United We Stand, And I asked them, did you have anything to do with this, or have you even heard of this? And they said no. They didn't know where this came from.
I'll tell you exactly where it came from.
Come out of his little beanie head.
No, it didn't come out of his little beanie head. He's owned and controlled by the powers that be. And if you'll research his history and find out how he made his billions of dollars through contracts awarded by the state of New York, after attending several meetings and dinners with the Rockefellers, in which there were no opposing bidders, then you know this man is owned. And whatever platform he has offered did not come out of his little beanie, I can guarantee you.
One other question there, Bill. For a while, I thought I liked Buchanan, but after hearing you talk about him, I'm starting to, you know, what you said about the Malta.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, I mean,
you listen to him talk, he just sounds like he's on our side, sounds like he's a nice guy, you know.
If
I was just interested in fishing and he wanted to go fishing, I would really enjoy a fishing trip with that guy.
Sure.
But we're talking President of the United States here. I wouldn't elect him President of the United States based upon what I know about him for all the tea in China.
Sure.
And that's worth a lot of money, by the way, all that tea in China.
Yeah. Well, who do you think... In your humble opinion, who's the guy?
Right now, there is nobody.
Nobody.
And if you think in your wildest dreams that Charles Collins is going to get elected, you can...
No, I don't.
Then you're really dreaming. He can't even, you know... He can't... You know, there's nothing wrong with him at all. And we haven't done any background research on him. And the reason we haven't is because he hasn't got a chance in hell. It wouldn't matter if we all got behind him. He still hasn't got a chance in hell. And if he did have a chance in hell and got elected, they'd kill him within 3 days.
Well,
that's how far this thing has gone. Nobody understands that. We are gone so far into this. And the only reason Perot's coming up with another third party thing and all of these other things are springing up all over the country is to make damn sure that nobody gets elected except who they want to be elected.
Worked last time.
That's, you're darn right it worked last time, and it's going to work this time also. You watch. I'll bet you money on it.
Okay, well, take it easy, Bill.
Okay.
Bye.
520-333-4578. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Jim from Connecticut.
Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
Good.
Been listening to you for about 7-8 months now. We just had something up here in Connecticut at Yale on the 16th, was the Russian concert, and they had the double-headed eagle up here. And a buddy of mine up in Maine has been researching the recycling sign. Have you looked into that?
Oh, yeah.
And the inner triangle and the gentleman that has...
also green.
Yeah, that happened to be the one that had been elected to have his... sign put nationally. Right now I'm at a payphone because that's how I like to do things. You know what I'm saying?
You're a chicken plucker.
No, I'm not a chicken plucker. I take care
of... I'm just kidding you.
I know. But anyway, what I'd like to do is find out some way to get you some information we've come across.
Fax it to me, mail it to me, Federal Express it to me, however you want to get it here.
CAGI be fine?
Huh?
Through CAGI? Through your group?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that. And also send you a photograph of that picture in front of the Woolsey Hall.
Yeah, well, you also know that that's one of the symbols of one of the highest degrees of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry.
Absolutely. I've been researching on this incident, you know, our... A lot of people are just ignorant of what's coming down. I'm getting ready.
You know, it's also on the walls of the Vatican.
Yeah.
You know, it's also the symbol of the Emperor of Rome.
There's a couple other things that I'd like to send up to you. There was one thing. When I sent you this information about 2 months ago, you said that there was a form to fill out if we wanted to be...
If you want to join our organization, you have to...
$100, I think it was.
You have to execute an oath.
Yeah.
And fill out an information sheet, and we'll sign you to a station chief and put you to work.
Okay. All right, I'll do that when I send all the information to you.
Okay, great.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
By the way, those of you waiting for assignments to Station Chief, they will be out by the end of this week. And also, Paul, if you're out there in your big rig and your 58-foot trailer and that brand-new Volvo tractor pulling that thing, I got to tell you, the sausage that you made and left with us is the best sausage that I've ever eaten in my life, bar none. And for John out there on the road, I want to thank you for your continued assistance and your valuable contributions over the last year. And I hope you're driving safely, my friend. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Yes, about the Bosnian situation.
Yes.
The U.S. has been throwing Tomahawk cruise missiles and escalating the war.
Yeah.
These missiles can be shot down by the old Soviet A-15s.
Yeah.
Or the newer G-300S anti-missiles.
Yeah, what's your point?
And these are actually, we have in the U.S., the slow air-breathing cruise missiles.
Yeah, what's your point?
Well, if this happens, this will drop the value of the dollar.
Yeah.
Because military power is what gives the dollar its value.
And no, it doesn't. Nope.
Money is power.
Nope.
And power is freedom, and so therefore money is freedom.
No, you don't understand the money in this country, my friend.
And I think Russia will supply the Soviets with these V-300Ss.
Well, they may be, and it might help even things out. I don't know, but it's not going to do anything to affect the dollar, I can guarantee you.
If the, what they were calling the Valiant 3... I think if this happens, I'd like to get on tape because I'd like to see some of these missiles come down myself.
Well, I would too. I'd like to see everybody leave those people alone, let them fight their war till it's over. And if you want to help them rebuild their country, then fine if you want to. But I don't think we even owe them that. It's none of our business. What's all this peacekeeping crap? If one side's winning, we let them win. If the other side starts winning, we go in and drop bombs. What kind of a war is that? And what do we have to do with it anyway?
Well, I think
and the UN isn't keeping any peace, I can guarantee you.
Well, I think we're seeing the beginning of the fulfillment of the Marxist prophecy. Capitalism is on a suicide ride.
Let me tell you something. I don't believe anything any of these clowns said. I think that the future of the world is going to be decided by those people who decide to do the right thing when the right thing needs to be done. And if they abdicate doing the right thing, then that's going to decide the future of the world in the other degree, and they'll all become slaves. But
I'd like to see a rain of blood come down on this country, the blood of the God that they believe in, the believers.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about there, and I don't wish ill or blood on anybody. And if you do, then you're certainly not a friend of mine. Good night. Who in the world would wish death, destruction, and blood to rain down on anybody? You're sicko. Sick, sick, sick. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Well, it's an honor and a pleasure to speak with you, as much as an honor and a pleasure to have been retransmitting your program for the past 2.5 years.
Wonderful. That's great. How have you been doing it? Talk to my listeners. Some of them just bought transmitters.
I have been doing it with a Ramsey FM-10.
This is a citizen telephone operator. Hello?
Yes, what are you doing on this line, operator? It's a radio broadcast.
Oh, I have an emergency interrupt.
There is no emergency interrupt. Get off this line. Go ahead.
Oh, how hard they try. No, I've been doing it with a Ramsey FM-10. For about the past 2.5 years, on various frequencies, both in Central California and here in Idaho.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, it is a pleasure and an honor to be telling others another side that they don't get from the local media. My question to you tonight is, I want you to tell me why I should not be supporting Bob Dornan.
Bob Dornan? For what? Supporting him for what?
For presidency. I know. Please don't laugh. I just want you to assuage my fears. I do not support the man. I just would like to have you tell me why, and then I have one more question on a non-related topic for you.
Well, what's the non-related topic?
Okay, the non-related topic is... if you or anybody at CAGI can look into an order for me, another one of these secret orders. I don't know if it's Masonic or not, but there's been some rumors, and they are just that, rumors, called the Order of the Black Wind. I know.
Good night. Order of the Black Wind. I got some Black Wind for you. I think Annie's cooking beans some this weekend, and we'll be able to spread some Black Wind all over the state of Arizona. I'm not exactly sure. But don't come up here with that crap, and don't try to break into this broadcast with some phony emergency call, because we don't go for that crap. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Greg from Albuquerque.
Hi, Greg.
Yeah, I had a question when you were talking about Mithra and that Bohica business. I was reading a college, I believe it was an architecture book, and it said that early Christianity used to meet outside, and it was like an, I'm trying to remember the exact phrasing, and I no longer have the book, but the gist of it was is that the churches that I think we have inherited, I think they started as, I think they started as Mithraic temples, and I think it was because Mithras's birthday is 25th of December.
Well, you got it backwards. The Christian church existed before Christ was born, and it was an order. Christ doesn't mean what people think it means. It means something else. It was a label given to Jesus after he was born, because he fulfilled the role of this great teacher that people were expecting.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. Now, all of this stuff that you're talking about came later. When the Roman Empire was threatened by all these little groups of Christians spread around the empire, and the more they killed, the faster they grew. And so the Roman Emperor Constantine said that he saw a sign before a great battle one time, and that sign was to lead him into battle and to victory, and it was a cross. And it was the cross of Constantine, which looks like an Indian teepee. Okay?
Okay.
And he adopted Christianity, although he never was baptized or anything. He never really accepted it. It was a ruse in order to save the Roman Empire and to combine the... What he did, actually, was combine the religion, which at that time was known as the Christian religion, with the Mithraic and the other pagan religions of Rome. And the Roman pantheon of gods became the pantheon of saints, etc., etc., etc. The emperor became the pope. Julius Caesar, for example, one of his titles was Pontificus Maximus, which is still the title of the Julius Caesar today.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, but you had it backwards as to which came first, the chicken or the egg.
Okay, well, this was actually part of my question, was this architecture textbook, which what it went into saying was that part of the Mithraic... it said that there was Mithraic sacrifices, and there were two rows of pews, and that the central column where the bridegroom usually walk up, that was some sort of blood channel. Now, this was in an architecture book for school.
Uh-huh.
So is there truth to that some of the designs or some of the architecture from some of those masons?
Absolutely. The religions were blended together.
Mm.
You see, the Roman emperor could not dismiss Christianity because they were threatening the empire.
Wait, somehow.
He tried to kill them all off, but he couldn't do that. They were multiplying like rabbits. I don't mean sexually. I mean people were joining them like crazy. Okay? He knew that if he made Christianity the religion of Rome, that the pagans would have killed him and taken over the empire, and it would have been destroyed anyway. So he blended the two together, and he saved the Roman Empire, is what he did. Rome never fell. It just became the Vatican.
So, okay, now I also have I also have something else that I just wanted to kind of make a comment on that's kind of unrelated.
And for all you Catholics out there, I'm not talking Catholic, our Catholic Church, just like the lower degrees of the Freemasonic Lodge. They're not involved in anything. I'm talking the hierarchy of the Vatican. and this is easily proven in history. The Pope himself has made the statement, I am the Roman Emperor. He's also said that he is God. He's made all of these different statements.
Yeah, that was kind of shocking when I actually read that quote of his out of an old L.A. Times from, I don't know, like 80 when he, 88 when he made a trip here.
Yeah.
Well, my other one of my other points was Pat Buchanan, and I think it's kind of fitting that he campaigns with this, you know, he's got his little low-budget tour bus that he goes across the country with, and I know a hell of a lot of people like him just for that reason.
That's because his constituency is the common man, so he has to appear to the common man to be a common man. That's showmanship. These people are politicians.
Politicians. Okay, well, thanks, Bill, and thanks for everything, and have a good night.
You too. Thanks for calling. And thanks for those good questions. 520-333-4578. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, sir, Bill.
Yes.
This is Vicki. I'm calling to ask you if you're familiar with the book by Whitney Strieber.
Yes, Whitley Strieber.
Strieber, thank you. He made reference to you in it, his very latest one.
I haven't read that one. What's it say?
He stated that in his very last chapter, he was talking about the conspiracy,
mm-hmm.
or like a government cover-up, and he quoted... I'll quote it for you. He said that you were another UFO researcher, also allegedly claims that this supposed secret alliance between aliens and the U.S. government involves technology trade and exchange of ambassadors.
Oh, he knows better than that. That's just another attempt to discredit me with anybody who reads that book. When I was in the Office of Naval Intelligence, I saw top secret documents that said that that was true.
But see, I know that you don't believe that because I've heard you say
yeah.
it. I thought you might need to know that because this is a very late...
Oh, they're all the time doing this kind of stuff. And people read those books who never listen to me, who don't know me, read it and think it's true. And so they think I'm nuts.
And
they spread these things all over computer networks supposedly written by me, which I never saw before in my life.
And the other interesting thing in it was how he talked about some UFO contactees. Experience these black helicopters, and have you? Is it, there's like a connection between the black helicopters with militia groups and the UFO contactees?
What now?
Well,
what is your question?
Well,
just tell me your question. I know all about all that other stuff. You don't have to prepare me.
Well, is there a connection here between some militia groups and these UFO contactees that are seeing black helicopters?
No. No, the black helicopters are real.
Mm-hmm.
They're real.
Okay.
They're unmarked. They're really black. They're not a dark olive drab with dark markings on them. They're really black. They're assigned to special units. They're training for urban guerrilla warfare. When they decide to take the guns away from the American people and suspend the Constitution and put us under world government, it's what they're going to have to do because Americans aren't going to stand for it. And they're real. The militias are also real, and they're not wacko. They're American patriots who were preparing for this.
Well, I believe that. I guess what I believe is that there might be groups out there that are part of them. But
oh, absolutely, yes.
And then when I read that about black helicopters and the fact there were some certain militia groups, you know, that had seen them, and see, I've been trying to put the pieces together, too, and that was like a piece... You know, that didn't fit anywhere.
Yeah. Well, there are legitimate people who investigate unidentified flying objects. There are people who claim to investigate unidentified flying objects, which are actually propagating the myth of an extraterrestrial threat to the Earth in order to bring everybody together under world government to repel that threat and give up whatever they have to give up and sacrifice and all this kind of bullshit.
Right.
And then there are people who are victims of a tremendously sophisticated, well-funded, and long-time ongoing mind control operation. And they're known as abductees. And then there are just the Looney Tune, woo-woo, Looney Fringe crowd that believe in all this crap without anybody having to help them.
Well, you've heard about the low-frequency... waves, right?
ELF, yes.
Okay, is there anything that we can do to protect ourselves?
Not that I'm aware of, unless you can build a Faraday cage and live in it.
Okay, then. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
What we have to do is stop this stuff in its tracks, folks. 520-333-4578 is the number. By golly, I never got around to anything.
Friends, you owe it to yourself and your family to leave the congested city and enjoy what nature intended you to enjoy. Visit our new apartment homes in Hawthorne Court, Jackson Heights, where you may enjoy community life in a friendly environment.
Folks, according to my research, that was the first radio commercial ever heard on commercial radio. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Cooper. This is Rex over in Chino Valley. I don't call in very often. Last May, I was over in Washington, D.C. on a vacation, and then after listening to you talk about Freemasons and so forth, and since my grandfathers were Freemasons, I decided to go see the Masonic Lodges in D.C. and
did you go to the House of the Temple of the 33rd degree?
Yeah, I can't remember what street it was on, but it was rather interesting looking at the number of steps and the architecture and going on the tour. You haven't mentioned anything about the lodges that people can go to them and go on tours and so forth, but it really kind of brings it home when you've listened to someone like yourself and read the books and so forth and actually see all this stuff. It's rather fascinating.
Yeah, did you notice while you were in there that there's copies of Morals and Dogma laying everywhere?
No, I didn't actually.
Oh, well then they took them out. The House of the Temple used to have them on every table in there. In fact, they had a room specifically dedicated to the honor of Albert Pike.
There was mention about it, and there's one interesting thing, that I forget which one it was, but there was a panel that they had opened towards the east, because they wanted the light to come in and backlight this architecture, and it didn't quite work for some reason. The guy didn't understand why, but he did show me their library, and I just wish I could have just stayed there.
Yeah.
But it's rather interesting. Anyway, that's all. Just wanted to add that to, anyone going over there or other parts of the country is to look into these things. It kind of rounds out the knowledge. And as far as, listening to you is to talk about Buchanan and these others, what is there to do? You can't vote for any of them.
Wake up.
Well,
wake up.
Waking up and doing what?
Throw them all out. Don't vote for any of them. You see, what's happened to this country is we have died morally, we have died spiritually, we don't even love our children enough to stop somebody from taking them away from us. I mean, this is absolutely incredible. There isn't anybody that's presidential material in this country right now who's willing to stand up and try to take the reins and run the country.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll let you go on to the next caller.
Used to be statesmen, used to be men of great quality in this country. Where are they?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have you tried wheat? They're whole wheat with all of the bran. Won't you try wheat? For wheat is the best food of man. And crunchy the whole year through. The kiddies never tire of them, and neither will you. So just buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land.
Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill, how are you doing?
Hi, did you eat your Wheaties?
Always. My name is Joe, I'm calling from Canada.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear what happened to Bruce Clark, the lawyer for the people involved in the Gustafson Lake standoff?
Yeah, he went to represent his clients. They closed the courtroom doors and locked him, and he couldn't get in. And when he finally forced his way in, they handcuffed him and threw him in jail.
Yeah, have you heard the latest?
No.
They've taken him away for psychiatric evaluation.
Oh, remember, folks, I told you about this.
Yeah, Bill's right again, people. Yeah, anyone that, and the funny thing is they showed the videotape, and they had about 20 police officers, or sheriff, whatever you want to call them,
mm-hmm.
closed the door. He went in, and they claim he threw a temper tantrum. They claim he did all this stuff. No evidence, and all you saw him was 3 days later coming out saying that he had sleep deprivation. They wouldn't let him sleep for 3 days, and he was in shackles and handcuffs.
Yeah. No, he didn't do anything wrong. He He had a legitimate right to be there. His clients were going to be arraigned, and these are some of the Indians, folks, that were in this siege. And he was trying to get in the courtroom, and they wouldn't let these people have representation. They wouldn't let their lawyer in the courtroom to represent them. And when he finally broke in there to be able to fulfill his mission and represent his clients, they arrested him.
Yeah, perhaps what you should do is have an hour show, if you could fit it in an hour, on the difference between Canada and the fact we have no freedoms up here versus what little freedoms you have in America. And I think a lot of people would soon wake up to realize that the gun grab soon to happen in America is already happening in Canada, and it's only a matter of time before they get your guns.
That's right. And up in Canada, there's no freedom of speech anymore. You just criticize a politician and you're gone.
Well, I know guys that have had their rifles taken away from them because they used jokes, or they said jokes about racial people on their telephone, on private telephones. Now, as bad in taste it may be to some people, on a private telephone, they have their guns taken away. I know people that have been arrested for things they said on their phones about...
Wow, if that's true, a lot of blacks would be in jail, wouldn't they?
Well, that's the thing.
It's a joke.
The political correctness up here in Canada has gone to an extreme, but I think what they're doing is they test the waters a lot. The situation in Canada with guns, they're going to have it so you have to justify the ownership of your weapons every 5 years. And in the new situation with what's called the FPC, Firearms Possession Certificate, you must justify not only you having them, but you also must watch who you associate, because a new clause in the new Bill C-68 says they can take away your guns and the guns for your whole family and household because of whom you associate with.
Well, you're in deep trouble. You called me, my friend.
Well, I hope Americans, you know, the beautiful country, you know, and God bless them, and I hope they're going to finally, you know, do what you say, Bill, and wake up the sheeple and get off their butt and do something, because if they think they've got no freedoms in America, look across the North. I can't even, if I was to go on the air and have my own shortwave show and say the things you did, I would be in jail overnight, no questions asked.
Well, I will eventually, in jail or dead, unless those people out there listening decide to get on my side. But I ain't backing away. I ain't justifying nothing. I ain't changing my mind. I am for liberty.
Well,
liberty gives me the right to say ain't.
And that's a hell of a lot more than a lot of people in America and Canada can say, but you've got the fire under my butt. I've woken up. I'm doing my own research, and I'm exposing the New World Order as it is in Canada. They've got plans right now to put people in civilian concentration camps.
Yes, and they'll be doing it down here, too.
Thanks for your time, Bill.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Well, you heard it, folks. I know most of you don't care, but some of you do. I know that for a fact, because some of you are my kind of people. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. Captain Lee from Michigan. I've got one of your radios ordered, and I need the address, if you could supply it, of Carl Kling, so I can get some of his tapes to play on it.
I don't have that in front of me right now, as a matter of fact, and I don't even know where it is right this moment, but I'll give that out on the air tomorrow night.
Thank you, sir. I'll be listening.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening. You know, people call me all the time, want to know why I don't play Carl Kling's music all the time. I would if it wasn't on every other show on radio. You see, this show has to be unique. I love Carl Kling's music. In fact, I was the first one that ever played his music on radio, and all these other people like to copy me. In fact, I was the only one on radio who did this kind of show, who played any kind of music that meant anything, and everybody else started copying me, and I don't copy other people, so when they copy me, then I just quit doing it. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper. I'm wondering if you might have any advice for a state sovereign citizen who had his children abducted by the social services.
It's too late. You already let them go. See, they would never get my children out of my house. They'd have to do it over my dead body. I don't know what to tell you now. Possession is 9/10 of the law. If you don't have possession, you already did the wrong. You let them take them.
Is there anybody that might have any legal paperwork of any type that might be able to call in? I'd appreciate that if somebody might be able to contact you and write you or something.
I don't know, and we don't perform legal services here. So, you know, I feel for you. I really do, but you did the wrong thing when you let them take them, in my estimation.
Well, that's my... Pardon? A lot of police.
I wouldn't care if they brought the whole army. They'd have to get my children over my dead body. That's how much I love my children.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Sorry to put it that way. I know it hurts your feelings, but that's the way that I feel about it. Nobody would take my children unless they killed me first. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. I was talking to a friend of mine about 2 weeks ago who's a former mayor in a small town up in Colorado. And I can tell you off the air, but I just don't want to say it on the air. But he was telling me about a new prison that went up a couple of years ago. It's west of Pueblo, Colorado. It's around Florence, Colorado. And it's supposed to be even worse than Marion, Illinois, which Marion heretofore was the only level 6 federal prison in the facility in the country. And this place is supposed to be completely underground and about as inaccessible as an eagle's nest, literally. And I'm just wondering what it's for. He wouldn't, you know, I couldn't pry it out of him as to what this prison was for, but I can imagine.
Well, prisons are to put people in.
Absolutely, but I mean, you know what type of politically incorrect people like our Canadian friend was talking about a while ago.
Probably. You know, let me tell you something, folks, in case you don't understand this. The United States of America already today, as I speak, has the largest prison population per capita in the world. Now, you better think about that, because they're voting billions of dollars more for more prisons, and they're converting abandoned military installations into prisons. They just built a prison not far from my home here. What are all these prisons for if we have the highest prison population in the world per capita? You better start thinking. You're not playing with a full deck of cards out there.
And also, Bill, on one of the local talk shows today, there are more of these sheeple were calling in and ooh and ah about Colin Powell and about Bill Bennett now endorsing Colin Powell. And I said, look, it's very simple. I said, Colin Powell is a CFR member, and Bill Bennett is a CFR member.
Not only that, but they're both for the United Nations. They're for abortion. They're for all of these things that are not American.
And as far as the Forbes candidacy goes, you know, Malcolm Forbes wanting to enter the presidential race, Forbes magazine is a corporate member of the CFR.
Yeah. Listen, I got to let you go. I'm out of time.
Thanks.
Good night. Good night, folks. Call Swiss America Trading. Thank them for sponsoring this broadcast. Tell them William Cooper sent you. You'll get red carpet treatment. You need some real money. Things are getting bad. In fact, they're getting worse. This is just escalating beyond all reason. This upcoming presidential election, almost told the truth there for a second. This upcoming presidential election is a joke. It is a joke, and people are just playing right along with it. Well, never mind. Call Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. Get some real money. You're going to need it. And I can promise you that, folks. It's no joke. You're really going to need it. 1-800-289-2646. Good night, and God bless you all.
it's foolish to start for that.